Well, good morning. Well, I am happy to tell you all that I am in the midst of doing premarital counseling sessions for one of my best friends from high school. It's just so fun. I love doing premarital counseling. I know some pastors, it's not their favorite thing, and so others do it, and that's fine, but I love it. I think it's so interesting to get to know a couple and get to know their stories and their joint story. And so it is that we are preparing for the fourth and final session with my dear friends. And the fourth session is when we walk through the whole service, the ceremony, as it's sometimes called. And I am grateful to report to you that less and less do couples talk about who will give away the bride. Now, I know it's traditional, don't get me wrong, I'm all for tradition and keeping things as they have been for a long time, and yet I'm happy to say that they don't talk so much about giving away the bride as who will walk the bride down the aisle. Right? So sometimes it is, as is tradition, the father of the bride, but sometimes it is also both parents, right? Or a brother, or sometimes it's the bride's children, right? Which can be beautiful. Sometimes both the bride and the groom walk down the aisle with their families. But we have left behind this language of giving away brides, along with the whole idea of having a bride price. As if the ownership of a woman passes from her father to her husband. And yet, I have to admit, there is power in the language of belonging. That you belong to someone. So long as it is mutual, there can be beauty in that. You know, there's an old TV show, at least it's old to me, a TV show from 2 decades ago that I watch when I need a mindless activity. Do you all have that, a TV show that you watch? I do it when I'm folding laundry or washing dishes, and I watch Gilmore Girls. Yes, I confess, I do. And at one point in the story, while Rory, one of the main characters, is at college, her roommate, who can be quite obnoxious, congratulates her for a great achievement. She now owns her boyfriend. That's what she says. She has broken him. He now belongs to her. He was a wild stallion, she says, and now he's been tamed. Good job. She was rather disturbed by this until she brought it up to her boyfriend. And he said, well, yeah, of course I belong to you. You belong to me, right? And she said, well, yeah, I guess. And he said, well, then I'm good with that. When it's mutual, belonging to another can be a beautiful thing. Jesus talks about his disciples in this way, that they are his sheep and they belong to him, that they know his voice and they follow. But I wonder, with Jesus and his disciples, can it possibly be mutual? Can they belong to one another? It seems strange to talk about Jesus belonging to us. It can hardly be an equal relationship, right? Between the Son of God and us woeful sinners. He belongs in our hearts. But can Jesus really belong to us? Don't we get in trouble sometimes when we try to claim ownership of Jesus and we want Jesus to look like us and act like us? We are hardly even decent representatives of Jesus much of the time. We try. We try, right? But we fail. And yet, just before this, just before what we heard today from Michael, there are a few verses earlier, Jesus speaks of how he is the good shepherd and that he lays down his life for the sheep. He gives everything for their sake. Jesus has in fact given himself to us. Those challenging Jesus in what we hear today, they can't quite go along with this. They cannot understand this because they don't belong to Jesus. They could if they were willing to open their hearts, but they are not. After all, for these who have challenged Jesus, they see Jesus as having messed with their sense of belonging. They knew who they were in the world. They knew what they were about. And Jesus has reshaped the world around them in a way that they barely recognize. You all might be familiar with that. That it's unsettling when it feels like you don't fit in the world around you anymore. And yet, despite all that, we see that there are a few among the Jewish leaders of the time who do sense in Jesus an opportunity to be a part of something. In Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea, at least some of the Jewish leaders long for a deeper belonging that they see in Jesus and his disciples. But isn't belonging always a bit complicated? We talk about belonging to a family, right? Certainly complicated. Show me one family who is not complicated, and I will say there is another story back there. Do we stop belonging to a family when there is a divorce? Does it just stop right there as if the relationships never were? Do we truly feel as though we belong to a family as soon as someone says, I do? What if that step is never taken? Or in the situation of a miscarriage, or more than one miscarriage, where there's such a deep longing to be a mom, to be a parent, and it is taken away from you. What then is your sense of belonging? Or when you are a parent who has a child wrestling with addiction and you have to let them go for a time. You have to figure out what it looks like to love them while being apart and let someone else mentor them along until they can reestablish relationships. What if our family is not defined by these traditional rites of passage, but by mutual trust and reliance? It's complicated. We talk about belonging to a church, too, you know. Sure, membership, but also simply finding a faith community where you fit, where you can be your authentic self, where you can wrestle with deep questions and not feel pressure to conform. And even while church membership in our country has decreased, people you know still have a deep need for belonging. Thankfully, belonging to Jesus is far more straightforward. You belong to Jesus because he called you his own. It's as simple as that. Nothing you do can take that away. Nothing you fail to do can rupture that. May Jesus then call you into Christian community where you have a sense of belonging, where you feel both loved and emboldened to love. Now, of course, belonging does come with responsibility, right? When you belong to a spouse, you are responsible for their well-being, their comfort, their shelter, their safety, their joy. When you belong to a family, you are responsible for their health, for showing up to birthday parties, for babysitting in a pinch, for rides to doctor's appointments. Someone told me recently, in fact, that in the midst of a health scare, they had to look through their grandma's purse. Yeah, sometimes it's just necessary. And in their grandma's purse, they figured out that they were the first person listed if there were an emergency. And she was so touched by that honor that she would be that person for her grandmother. And at the same time, she was terrified by it. Me? It all rests on me. And then also recognizing that, hey, my grandmother is that for me. What happens if she's no longer there? Where then do I belong? When you belong to a church, you are responsible for showing up, for serving the mission, for giving your offering, for being present in your authentic self and listening with an open ear to others. I hope for you, on this Good Shepherd Sunday, on this Mother's Day, that you have found your people, your family, by birth or by choice, and your church community, a community where we can love and be loved, where we belong. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.